Hello, hello, and welcome to the RadioKids.com podcast. My name is Isaiah Ellis, and I'm so glad you could join. These podcasts are doing awesome. You know, and this is just the beginning of the year, and we have so many more podcasts to do, so many more opportunities, and we cannot wait. I want to say a huge thank you to all of our listeners, not only our listeners, but the people who take their time to do these podcasts. These are the people that are making it possible for us, and I want to say a huge thank you. If you're a listener and know somebody that might want to join the Radio Kids podcast, please message the Radio Kids Facebook page and let us know. We are always looking for people to interview, and we would love to reach out. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. Now let's talk a little bit about our guest. Our guest today is Miss Jody Sheffield. She has a story to tell, and I don't want to go too much into that, but I do want to let you know that she has picked herself up when it got hard. And the thing about her, she never got discouraged at the times, and I'm sure, like, there was a lot of hard times she went through, but it seems like she had a great attitude, and she found the good and the bad, and, you know, she kept her mental game straight, and she had a whole bunch of surprises in life, and, you know, this is going to be a podcast you're really going to want to stick around to the end. It'll really change your perspective on the way that you compete, and really be grateful for the things that you have. Today's ambassador is Gentry from Colorado, and she is a little girl with a fiery passion and did an awesome job with the interview process. There's not too many little girls that you'll be able to see that'll even be able to hold on a conversation, much less do a whole interview and do podcasts. And, you know, this is what Rodeo Kids is about, being able to empower us and teach us skills that make us want to talk to people, you know, because that's what it's going to take whether you're doing anything in life. Now, enough of me talking. Now let's jump into a podcast with Gentry from Colorado and Miss Jody Sheffield.
Welcome. Thank you guys for coming and joining us today. My name is Gentry Velasquez. This is my podcast, and our guest is Miss Jody Sheffield. Does anybody want to start us off with a prayer?
I sure can.
Okay.
God, thank you for the opportunity to be able to do a podcast. Thank you for the opportunity that this gives to help people that, you know, maybe want to go down the road that people have already went down, being able to learn lessons from those who've done it and, you know, learn the good and the bad. I hope that you guide Gentry through this podcast, that you speak through her. God, I pray that you continue to bless her and bless this podcast. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay. So does anybody have any questions before we start?
I guess, first off, I mean, just telling us who she is and what she does.
Okay, well, my name's Jody Sheffield, and I live in Delta with my husband, Jesse, and my little girl, Josie Joe. And Jesse and I met while we were rodeoing together. We used to pro rodeo, and then we stopped doing that a little bit, and we stay home on our ranch now, and our little girl Josie does all of her rodeos. Can you come sit? This is Josie.
And Wendelline.
Hey. So we put on team roping, some barrel races, ranch rodeos these days, and we go to a little bit of rodeos ourselves. We raise and train our own horses, and train outside horses, and just mostly get to do everything that we do all together as a family every day. We're very lucky.
That's awesome. Okay, so we're going to get into this podcast. Miss Jody Sheffield, my first question is, how did you get into the Westerner rodeo industry?
Well, I honestly don't remember the first time I ever even rode a horse. I've just been riding them my whole entire life. I grew up doing 4-H and what we called junior posse. I'm from Utah. I grew up in Utah. And we didn't have a whole lot of rodeos, but we had a lot of barrel racing and pole banding. I did a little bit of showing, a little bit of rodeo queening. And then I went through high school rodeo. And after high school rodeo, I got my WPRA permit and filled my permit. And started rodeoing some more. And then I met Jesse, and we got to go together a lot. In 2011, we qualified on our little mare Zoe for the NFR. We won Houston that year. And the year before that, we won Pendleton, the 100th Pendleton Roundup. So we're pretty lucky to have got to go to a lot of really great rodeos and have a lot of really great experiences, and just very blessed that we got to do that. So like my husband and I both, we just grew up doing it. It was
Well,
always a part of our life.
from the sounds of it sounds like you're not a first generation cowgirl. Is that correct?
My dad grew up on horses. It was kind of a time when everybody had at least a workhorse, something to ride around. I have a lot of cousins that rodeoed and a lot of family members, but I didn't really come from parents that rodeoed. So everybody in my family did, all my siblings did, except for one. But my parents, they kind of got us into it and went all in with us.
That's awesome.
I didn't give you my cold, did I?
No. That's awesome. You be like winning the N not winning the NFR, but being able to qualify for the NFR and doing everything like that, that's awesome to me.
Yep, we got to have a whole lot of experiences, a lot of fun, a lot of great memories, and just something that a lot of people wish for and don't ever get, and we got to experience it.
Yeah. Does anybody have any questions or anything?
I would just keep going.
I think that's that.
Ahead.
Okay. So the next question I got for you. So, well, you've been doing it long. But how do you keep yourself calm when you're going, when
How do I keep myself calm? Like mentally, you're cutting out just a little bit. Okay, well, most importantly, you've got to breathe. Take a lot of deep breaths before you go in. Make sure that you're just mentally focused. One of the most important things I think is to be confident in your horse and your ability. That will help a whole lot if you're if you know that you just got what it takes. It's a lot of pressure. I'll tell you, when I made the short round in Pendleton the year that I won it, I was a wreck. I called Jesse like 5 times during the rodeo and just walked around on my horse. Pendleton's rodeo is about 5 hours long, and I was a mess. I was so nervous. But I put it aside, and I believed in my horse, and I knew that she would carry us through. And I got to do the same thing in Houston the year that I won Houston. They have the long round and then they have the final four. And in the final four, it was against Sherry Serby, Lisa Lockhart, and Brittany Posey and myself. Those were the final four. And I was first. I was first to go. And kind of in that instance, I was just really proud that I had made it that far, and whatever happened after that was amazing, and I ended up winning that. When I went to the NFR that year, they always kind of put out a lot of articles on what the ladies do with their horses to prepare, what they do with themselves, what they do during the week. A lot of them do, a lot of physical stuff with their horses, a lot of breathing treatments. They have a lot of things that they do, and I going a couple weeks before the NFR, I got kind of really overwhelmed reading a lot of that kind of stuff, and it's a lot of good information. Any of that you see the top girls put out is really always good information, but I myself had to stop reading it because I started second guessing myself and our program and what we were capable of doing, and I had to remember what my horse was like and how we had brought her along and what worked for her and worked for us, and so I had to just stop reading those things until afterwards so that I could focus on how we were going to get the job done. And there's lots of different ways to do it, lots of different, lots of ways to skin a cat. And you most importantly have to believe in your own program and what works for you and your horses.
I have a couple notes with just that. So, couple things. Number one is like You saying like being nervous. I know for me, just like even in the youth rodeo, I'm quite a few youth rodeos and some jackpots, and just that nervous. Like, I couldn't imagine being at the NFR and like the how much more pressure you would have on you, and going against the greats of the greats, and like I just could not imagine staying calm and keeping myself collected in those moments. Just like, it would take a lot, and I just could not imagine how much it takes.
One thing that really helped at the NFR was, at least for the barrel racers, anyways, the only time I ever went into the building, aside from running barrels, was during the grand entry. And so for me, just running up that alley and running a pattern, it wasn't a whole lot different than a lot of other rodeos. You just run in, do your job, and run out. Where, like those ropers and those rough stock riders, they have to sit inside that building and they're absorbing their surroundings a whole lot more than the barrel racers are, I think. And it's a little bit easier to put your surroundings out of your mind and just focus on your job a little bit more when you don't have to sit in that building and watch everybody else do it.
That is crazy. And I know, like, it's almost like a front you have to put up in rodeo. It's almost expected for you not to show your nerves, be the tough person. And that's a hard thing to do, especially with something like the NFR being on TV and, being on the big screen, having to put up that confident front. What, did you find that harder knowing that there's 100 cameras facing at you the whole time?
Part of me is real grateful that social media wasn't quite as popular then as it is now, because there's so much more that's covered now, and you see so much more of the cowboys and the cowgirls now than you used to. It was really cool that I got to tell my family and my coworkers and stuff they could watch every night. And I think to me, it was knowing that they were there watching me. They were sitting on their couch cheering for me just as much as anybody that was there. Sorry. But it's just, to me, it was just an exciting experience. And I tried to make the best out of every part of it, enjoy every part of it. There were some downtimes. There were some couple things that happened that weren't in our favor. But overall, I think the most important thing is to just absorb the whole experience. And some of those girls that go every year, you got Brittany Posey, Lisa Lockhart. I'm sure they get plenty nervous too, but they're also there to just thoroughly enjoy their whole experience, because you never know if and when you're going to get to go back.
That's so awesome. I know Peyton has a question, but something that's just awesome is, I know, like, knowing that your family is in the back corner for you. I actually have I have we're I'm a family of 13 rodeo siblings,
Oh my
and
gosh.
so I know there's quite a few, but like, just knowing that you're going to have that person to pick you up when you fall down, or knowing, like, if nobody else is cheering for you, that they're going to be there to cheer for you, or no matter your ups or your downs or your misses or your down barrels or your, whatever it is, that your family's going to be there either way, for the wins or the loses. It's just an awesome feeling.
And one thing about it, when you got 10 runs, you're likely to have a couple bad things happen, and but you got you always seems to be another night that was kind of endless.
Right, right. Peyton,
10
did you
days
have a
in a
question?
row is a long time.
I could not imagine.
Another night, another night, another night.
That's still amazing. It's just amazing to know that you like really agreeing with what Isaiah said, that you always have that family to support you. If like nobody is cheering for you, they'll always be there for you to support you, especially in the highs and lows, and especially in a big thing like that. That's still really amazing.
Yep.
And with like, what are some of your most biggest accomplishments in your career, not just with you going to the NFR and winning Houston and winning Pendleton? How, what are some of your biggest accomplishments besides that?
I would say our little girl Josie. We get the opportunity to take what Jesse and I both learned on the road and in the arena, And now we get to teach her about it and get to go experience it with her. It's not about just us anymore. We have to work her junior rodeos into our schedule now, which is kind of fun to do. And she gets to hit some rodeos in a weekend, and we get to hit some rodeos in a weekend. So, I would have to say her, making
That's
her
awesome.
and helping her and get to bring her up.
That's awesome. Any questions?
You'll really learn, and we're just got our toe in the water about taking our kids, but you'll learn to greatly appreciate the things that your parents do to be able to get you, especially with 13 kids. My goodness.
And when you're doing that, what helps you stay focused? Like when you're competing or just any, like in your career or whatever?
Probably just the end goal, and it's not necessarily always winning. That's the end goal. It's to maybe just a small step in the right direction on your horse one day, or it might be qualifying for the NFR. But just being able to stay focused on your end goal and taking the little steps and the big steps all along the way that help you get there.
Right. And you qualified the NFR. How did that come about? How hard did you do anything for that?
So I started out on my little mare Zoe, and we took her to Reno. I had entered a couple rodeos before that, and she did really well. And I had an older horse at the time, and I had decided that if she did well at the other rodeos, then Zoe was going to go to Reno. So we took her to Reno, and she was 6 years old, and we ended up fifth in the average in Reno. And so then we went through the summer, and Jesse talked me into, he kind of dared me into entering Pendleton. I had never seen Pendleton before. I knew nothing about it. I'd heard about it, but I knew nothing about it. And so he dared me to enter, and I went up there, and Zoe loved it. Zoe, I believe, is the only horse to ever make the short round in Pendleton 5 years in a row. I went up there 5 years, and we made the short round every year. So I've got to make 10 runs at Pendleton altogether. But they call it the Green Mile. In case you're not familiar with Pendleton, the barrel pattern is on a racetrack, and the first barrel's on one side. You run across the grass to the second barrel, turn the barrel on the dirt, run across the grass again to the third barrel, and then run across the grass home. So it's a huge, exciting pattern. And I won the year that I won. It was the 100th Pendleton Roundup, which was even super cooler. So winning Pendleton got me high enough into the standings to qualify for Houston the following spring in 2011. And I actually worked at the time. I had a full-time job at the time. And so I sent my horse down with a good friend of mine and her dad. She had also qualified, and I flew down there and stayed the week and ended up winning Houston, which was shocking and amazing, but I didn't even realize until that night when my friend and I, we went to dinner, and it didn't even occur to me until she said, "How does it feel that you are going to the NFR?" When I went to Houston, it didn't occur to me that I had just won enough money to automatically qualify me for the NFR. So it was kind of another surprising moment. And then a couple weeks after Houston, my mare got caught up in some wire, and she cut her leg really bad. And we had to have her off for about 6 weeks. When we got back on her, and I went to Calgary in July, and we did a somersault on our first run. Had a horrible wreck, our first run. So it's on YouTube if you'd like to see it.
I
Look up
do.
Calgary. So we had a kind of a rough summer that summer that I went, and then in the fall we kind of pulled it together, and then she got an infection in her leg, the NFR. So in the leg that she had cut. So we finally got her all patched up and put back together just in time to go. And I think we placed in six or seven of the rounds, ended up doing well in the average, and ended up eighth in the world that year.
Wow.
So
Like, I
if there's
cannot.
ever like an underdog story, it was my mare is definitely, she was an underdog story.
Wow.
I could not imagine the shock and the like the ups and downs of that, just that little story. It's like you rode and you did really, really well, and then you go to a restaurant and you didn't realize you were going to the NFR, and it's like, oh wait, the NFR. And then it's like right when you think you're at the highest point, your horse is gonna get hurt and gets better, and then it's gonna happen again. And I'm sure you're freaking out because now what am I gonna do with the horse? I don't really have a backup plan. Like,
I had an old mare by, I think she was 20 at the time, was my backup, and she was the kind of horse that was either going to whoop 'em or she would make a complete fool of you, one or the other. So that was my only backup.
I could not imagine not having a good, like, my set horse for the NFR. That's just crazy. I'm glad it all pulled through and
It
came
did,
all
yep.
together at the end.
We were very blessed.
That is awesome.
Awesome. Oh, almost fell. Like, the utter shock would give me if my friend told me that I just had qualified for. Knowing that I qualified.
I don't think it occurred to her that I didn't realize that I had qualified.
I almost wonder if, like, you not knowing that whole time, like, okay, this run is going to qualify me for the NFR. This is the yay or nay. I wonder if that, like, had something to do with your mental game and had something to do with your run. I wonder if, like, you knowing might have changed the way you performed that day.
I think being a little bit naive to the situation definitely helped. Again, like going back to what I said at the first, when you're really confident in your horse and its abilities, and my horse just really ran awesome the whole week at Houston, and I knew that I could trust her. But yeah, I think just having that little bit of naivety and being able to just take in the moment and appreciate it. Because again, before the final four, I was in the locker room talking to Jesse, trying to calm myself down. It's always good to have a good ear that will listen to you and be the voice of reason, which he is.
That is awesome.
What would you say that keeps you going when you go through a rough patch in your career, like when you're rodeoing or something? What keeps you going in that with your mental state?
So, like when we went to the NFR, the third round I hit a barrel, and that was pretty early on, and it was pretty disappointing. But then when you sit there and you think about all that is still ahead of you, and all the runs that you still get to make, and all the runs that everybody else has to make, because they're going to make mistakes too, But the most important thing is to know that there is another run, and if that's the worst thing that happens to you, you'll be okay. You always get to enter again. You always get to go again and just work on being able to fix or tweak or just adjust on the fly, set a goal for each next run. I don't go nearly as much as I do as I used to, and I run a lot more younger horses these days. And so my goals are a lot smaller than they used to be. We might be going to just have a good solid run, work on our, be confident on the ground, nail my first barrel, which I'm still trying to do on my 14-year-old horse. That's always a goal. So, like I said, it doesn't always necessarily have to be a big goal like making the NFR. Just setting small goals, for yourself, I think, is really important to stay focused.
And I think that that's like something rewarding about the sport of rodeo. It's like maybe not a jackpot or finals or something, but like, especially when you're in a rodeo season, it's almost like most of us treat our rodeo like it's the last one of the season. And we beat ourselves up so much if we don't win or we don't catch our calf that it really puts a bog down on us that we just got to remember you have five, six more rodeos to make this up for the end of the year. And I feel like if we would just take time and relax and, really think about how many more opportunities we have instead of beating ourselves up so much, I think it really helps out a lot.
Well, there's so much good that can come from failures and setbacks if you take the time to learn from them and figure out what went wrong. I'm sure that Trevor Brazil, one of the things that he says is you have to have a short-term memory. Don't dwell on the things that went wrong, figure them out and move on to the next run.
That is one of the best things I've heard. That is awesome.
He's real good at talking about controlling your emotions in the arena.
Right.
Never have a bad moment in the arena.
That is awesome.
One second, sorry. Memory. I'm
Short-term memory.
writing that down to tell my dad. That's awesome. I think one of my, like, I don't set huge goals. I would love and love and love to go to the NFR and win Houston and win Pendleton. But that's still a long ways ahead of me. So I just set small goals for myself, like moving and like making a straight line to third whenever I come out of second or something, like moving him over with my feet. I just set small goals like that and like switching hands and doing stuff like that. Every rodeo, I have three goals and I want to accomplish them. Sometimes I don't accomplish one, but most of the time I at least accomplish two or
Well, and it's important to remember that things happen so fast in a run, whether it's a rope and run or barrel racing, whatever it is, things happen so fast, and you only have so much time to think about what you're doing and fix anything on the fly. And so your muscle memory is so important. Keeping it simple for you and your horse is really important to us. The simpler, the better. The more honest you have your horse, the better, where you're not trying to lift, tuck, turn this, that, and do all these things in a matter of seconds. You want it to be able to happen correctly. And that's why our slow work is so important. And everything that we do needs to be very deliberate on our horses and not confusing.
Yeah. Does have any advice for ropers? Because I know we have a couple ropers in the ambassador team. So do you have any advice for ropers on getting their horses in the box and keeping them calm while you're in there?
Well, my trainer's over here. He's a very big advocate. Jesse is a very big advocate of being of going in the box, straight lines, square corners, everything being very deliberate. It's really easy to get a horse confused and upset, whether it be in the box or in the alley, in the gate. And then you have all kinds of problems that can come up because your horse is confused. And then they get upset and then they get mad and things can really go downhill. So the most important thing, like I said, whether it's riding in the box or riding in the alley, straight lines and be very clear. And breathe and smile, right, Gentry? We smile.
Yes, ma'am.
I know I had a jackpot this last weekend, a team roping jackpot, and my nerves, like I know we practiced on Thursday and then I competed on Saturday. And like my nerves, I never realized how much my nerves mess with my performance in the box. Like I would be so nervous and so shaking, and like my legs would bump my horse, or like, I mean, it would just be anything. And I didn't realize how much it affected on my horse. My horse would be trying to rear up, or spinning around in circles, or wouldn't go in the box. So taking that time to breathe and relax, it's like breathe before you go in and walk in there slowly. There's no need to rush in there, or it's a hard thing to do, especially like I know I'm newer in team roping, so it's like it's hard to kind of calm your nerves. And do you have any tips for things to do before you go into the box?
A couple of things, biggest thing, just take a breath, take a big deep breath, and make sure your horse is warmed up and listening and ready. Same thing as the barrel racing. You've got to make sure that they're ready. Make sure that you're ready. Be and just being confident in what you know that you can do. There is no rush, but take your time in that alley. Take your time in the box. My grandpa has a saying. Well, he did. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So our thoughts are so powerful and control so much of you can will yourself to do something. Or not to
Right.
do it.
That is
I
so true.
know. The first time I ran Yoda, I was so nervous and I was so shaky, and it was not like I thought I couldn't do it. I told my mom that I can't do this and this and this and that. But what that totally transferred to my run and my horse. We knocked the first barrel, and that was my chance at being like getting the buckle or getting money. I never noticed how far, like how much your emotions and your like what that all that can transfer to your runs or like your heading and your head, like your team roping runs and stuff like that.
Yep. It can go to everything. Last year, I took our gray stud, John Wayne, we call him. And, he's kind of another dream horse of ours. He's bred incredibly. He's beautiful. He's so talented in the roping and the barrel racing and stuff. And, I took him to a futurity last year. It was the first futurity that I took him to in Utah, and I was a mess. I was so nervous. And, before I ran, Jesse sent me a text and he said, "This is just a small step." And I needed that so much to know that that run, that very first futurity run, was not the end all be all of that horse's career. It was just a small step where we want to take him. And that's where you guys are at right now, as young as you are, and you guys are just starting out, and you're small steps. And if you just keep building in a positive direction, finding the right help, asking the right questions, keeping the right attitude, it's important to listen and listen to learn, not listen to reply.
Right.
To
I hear that.
understand.
That is so true. And I want to kind of go back to the thing that you said, to the person who thinks they can. Last year, Tamarie, the owner of Rodeo Kids, she sent us this little plaque that we have, and I have this beside my bed, and I took a picture of it the other day and sent it to somebody, but it says, the man who thinks he can, if you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win, but you think you can't, it is almost certain you won't. If you think you lose, you're lost. For out of our world, we find success begins with fellow will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to think high or rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can even win a prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but sooner or later to the man who thinks he can. So making sure that you think you can and not doubting yourself and being positive in your ability is so true.
That mental awareness and that You know, your state of mind is so important in any game you play.
It's
Yes, it
true.
is.
Always text like the whole ambassador team that you every time, like every weekend, she texts everybody good luck. And there's this one thing that she says, and I remind myself of it every time I'm at a rodeo or jackpot or something. And I say, we win or learn, but we never lose. So I have to remind myself of that.
Even Brittany Posey doesn't win all the time. Neither did Trevor Brazile or any of the others. They had plenty of losing to get where they were. But yeah, a lot more losing than winning. But if you can find the spots where you can learn something and change it.
It's hard. It's definitely a hard thing. Like, after you practice so much and losing, getting back in order is definitely a hard thing.
Hey, do you have a question? No?
So I heard one, Jesse listens to a lot of podcasts, when he's out with colts and riding and stuff. And one of the things that they, I've just lost my train of thought about what the one thing that winners have that separate them from everybody else is passion. They love what they do, whether it's a cowboy or a businessman or a golfer. They're so good at it because they're so passionate about it.
Yes, that's so true. Like, if you don't love what you're doing, you're not gonna really succeed in it. If it's just something you're doing to please your family or please the crowd or trying to get money, it's at the end, you're not gonna find happiness, and you're not gonna wanna do those things every day. Like for me, like I love to rope, so I'm out there every day roping. I'm out there, doing something to get better every day. If it's something you don't love to do, you're gonna find excuses and you're gonna, beat around the bush eventually. And it's you've gotta really have a passion for it, especially in the sport of rodeo. It's something that you're really gonna have to chase after and have a deep passion about.
Well, rodeo is so different from so many other things. Like, you can go put your golf clubs away or your baseball mitt in your closet when you're done with it. But with our animals, it requires so much more than just what happens in the arena as far as caring for them and being able to do all the things that's all involved in it. It's not just, like I said, you don't just get to put your soccer ball away and move on to something else.
Yeah, and I know for sure when I first started rodeo, all I wanted to do was impress my dad and try to make him, okay, you're doing great. But that never happened, so I learned, like, okay, doing it, I can't like continue doing it because it's what I'm doing to do it for myself and not other people. And that's how my brother did it too. He did it for my, like, he would always like, we don't make the word hours. My brother has a roping stand. Or he 24/7. Usually but we've learned just to ride and do every like and compete for ourselves and not to lean into not doing what we need to do that.
You have to learn to enjoy the hard times just as much as you do the good times.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh my God. Where did I leave off? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So, that's another one. Also, lives to be strong or in a position or after competing.
I don't know if that's just me or not, but you're cutting out really bad.
Yeah, you're gonna have
Yeah.
to, we're gonna have problems with the recording. Can try to repeat the last question again.
How do you keep yourself mentally strong in general or in competition or after a competition?
That's better.
That's a big loaded question, Gentry. What's the preparation, proper preparation prevents just poor performance? So it's so important to be prepared. Preparedness leads you to being confident. I think we always tell Josie when she does something is the most important thing is to try her hardest to do her best. It's not always about just winning or getting the buckle because she's also one that she can be pretty hard on herself if things don't go right. And we sometimes she's had a lot of success, and sometimes we tend to expect her to do perfect every time, and that's just not possible. And so our biggest thing is in ourselves and with her is to just do your best, and things will. That's all you need to do your best. Learn from it afterwards, whether things went well or things didn't go well. If things went well, remember what you did, what worked. I have a friend that I just saw today. She has this big giant book of all of her horses, and everywhere she runs, she's kind of a data. She likes to take a lot of data down, but she likes to write a lot of notes about where her horses worked well, what she did in those runs, where they didn't work well, what she shouldn't do again. Oh, and that just all again comes with being prepared. Know your ground, know your arena, know the setup, know the cattle.
For sure.
My gosh, hang on. I need a cough.
I sure hope I didn't give you my cold. I still have it.
Okay. So when you're waiting for your run, do you get like ever get nervous? And if you get nervous, how do you control that?
Well, I think nerves can be a good thing too. They don't always have to be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Getting your adrenaline built up, you can turn that into a positive thing. If you are kind of a deadhead before you run, are you really in the game? If you're not excited and you're not nervous, you should be. I think there always has to be a certain amount of nerves and adrenaline in any sport that anybody plays, because that's what makes you know that you are passionate about it and you care about how you do. I get nervous even just at a little barrel race because I want to do well. I want my horse to do well. I want, I want it to all be successful. And it's easy to get nervous just in that. I don't think that there's ever been a run that I've ever made where I didn't have some amount of nerves and adrenaline. So I think it's actually a good thing to have, but you have to learn to control. Like you said, you'd get shaken so bad that you'd be kicking your horse and shaking your reins, and you've got to control that physically and mentally, but you can channel that into positive thing.
For sure.
I remember it was my first time going in the box with Yoda. And I was so nervous, and thank goodness to Mr. Jesse Sheffield. He got me to be calm, to calm my horse down. So that was awesome.
That's one of the biggest steps is for you to calm down first.
Well, I think that concludes it because that's the end of my questions.
That was an
Well, I
awesome
sure
box.
enjoyed it.
Yes, that is awesome, you know. Being able to hear your story and see, you know, your ups and your downs, and you know, you seem like it's really hard not to put up that it's really hard to put up that nice face and be the smile that everybody's looking for in the, you know, in the moments where you're freaking out because whether you don't have a horse or you know, things might not be going your way. You know, having to put up that front face and be nice and be happy, and it's awesome to be able to see how you've been able to stay positive even through the hard times and, you know, keep pushing through and how you've kept your mental game straight through it all. It's amazing.
Well, your attitude is always a choice.
Right.
And bad things are going to happen, just like, you know, whether they be in the arena or your horse cuts its leg off 2 weeks after you on the biggest rodeo ever. And, you know, but attitude is everything. And you in every aspect of life get to choose how you respond to a situation.
No matter
So,
how hard it is,
yep,
you know, most people would.
we had a gentleman come last week and come and finish a tack room for us, finish a shed out to be a tack room. And a couple of years ago, when he showed up, we noticed that he had a prosthetic leg. And he ended up telling us that a couple of years ago, he was in a motorcycle accident and he lost his leg. And he, in the process, ended up losing his business because of it, because he couldn't work. And you know, just imagine the life adjustment that he had to make, and he chose to push through and carry on, and he's got his business back going again. That's how we found out about him. And I mean, such a traumatic thing. So when you think about, gosh, I missed my steer or I hit a barrel, with perspective is everything. There's always, you know, just be grateful for what you have and the way things go. And I think that you always have to know that things happen for a reason. I'm a pretty firm
Yeah.
believer that things happen for a reason.
And somebody's always having a harder day than you are, and just trying to keep your head up and stay straight and stay positive. And, you know, it is so hard to know the reason why things happen. I constantly wonder, why is this happening? What is this benefiting me? I don't see the end picture. It's hard. It really, really is. But staying strong and just trusting that God's going to take care of it. And, you know, he doesn't make mistakes. Whether your horse is going to cut its leg, maybe he's preventing it from tripping and breaking its leg later on. You know, you never know what is going to happen or what his plan is, or maybe you needed more patience, or you just never know what his plan is. So just trying to stay patient and stay calm. And even though it's hard, not questioning him and just trusting in his ability to work things out. Even when it's hard, even in the hard times.
Well, I'll tell you what, we woke up one morning and the mare that I went to the NFR on, she was 10 years old, and we found her dead in the pasture.
Oh no.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
And we still don't know why. And so that was a very good example of us just having to know that there was a reason for it. I think we maybe wouldn't have made time to get little Josie Joe if we had just kept rodeoing. So as hard as that was, we have to know that there's just good things that come from bad things. There's always, you're right, just always a reason, whatever it may be.
That is so sad. It's hard thing to, you know, it I mean, no matter what the situation is, it's so hard to see the big picture. And so and you might never see the result or never see why or the reason behind it, but just staying confident and staying calm in those moments. You know, everybody's gonna have a moment of there, everybody's gonna have a grieving moment. You know, it doesn't mean you can't just go take a minute to yourself or take a day
Take
off. There's
5 minutes at your trailer, allow yourself 5 minutes of pouting time, go in your trailer and Pout it
You
out for
got
5 minutes and then come out and carry on.
You got to. I think people don't give themselves that much of the time. They let it build all up inside, and it's going to take that one more down barrel, and it's all just going to come out, and you're going to let it out on everybody when you could have just been taking 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. And, it just taking time to grieve
Pull it
when you,
together.
right. That's when you need. That's when you need.
Okay. Does anybody want to end us off? This amazing podcast. Does anybody want to end us off with a quick prayer?
Sure, I'll go. Dear God, thank you for this amazing chance for us to learn more and to get advice from amazing people. Thank you for letting this podcast run smoothly and letting this opportunity, just giving us this opportunity in general. Thank you for everything, especially helping us get through this and making sure there was nothing wrong and just making this an amazing opportunity. We love you very much, Lord. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen.
Guys, I have something that I would like to read to you. Trying to find it here. Almost got it. Okay. You may have heard this before or not, but it's called The Man in the Arena. It is not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs but comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends time in himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither knew victory nor defeat. Do you know who wrote that?
I do not.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
I think that applies to, anything, whether you're at rodeo or you're, starting a business or anything in life. It's so true.
Yep.
For sure, for sure.
You can't have great reward without great risk.
Exactly. It's going to take stepping out on that limb to be able to do things like this. And if you want to win, you're going to have to step out. You're going to have to step out of your comfort zone. And I know that's something, we really stress about at Rodeo Kids. It's like really stepping out of your comfort zone. And I know a lot in these 2 years that I've been in Rodeo Kids, I've had to step out a lot, and it's only made me stronger. And so I know that's something that's so true.
Well, I'm sure impressed by you guys, and I think that what you guys are doing is great, and I hope that you get a bigger and bigger following, and then one of these days we need to get Mr. Jesse to do this and talk to you guys too.
For sure.
We 100% will.
We'll get him on here.
Yeah. We'll
We
make him step out of his comfort zone and talk on the computer.
will. We will get that schedule.
Well, you guys, thank you so much, and I wish you all the luck in the arena and out.
Well, thank you so much for joining the podcast. It means so much.
Thank
You have a
you.
great day.
Bye. Bye. Bye,
Bye.
guys.
Bye.
Bye.
I want to say a huge thank you to all of our sponsors at RodeoKids.com. Y'all are the ones who make it possible for us to do what we do. I want to say a huge thank you to Fastback Ropes, 7K Roping Dummies, Flat Top Cowboy Church, K&D Equestrian, Signature Stall Mats, Rodeo Bible Camps of America, Short Go Children's Books, Jacob Elder Clinics, Mike and Sherilyn Johnson, The Epic Animal, Goaty, Performance Pony Company, Wolf & Sons Performance, Rural Health Education, Rodeo University, and Flat Top Rodeo Bible Camps. Thank you so much for your support.